Okay, the boys, so today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. We're starting at the very top of the Amid. Brand new Mishnah, Zok the Mishnah. Hamafkin Mo'is Eitzel Shulchani. We just started David, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the top Mishnah. Hamafkin Mo'is Eitzel Shulchani. A person left a pikodoin of money with a Shulchani. Shulchani is a money changer. Not a money changer in the sense that we're used to changing from dollars to shkolim or fakert, but rather we're talking about from larger denominations to smaller denominations. Person had a $100 bill and he wants to get to 25s or 10 tens or whatever, he'd go to the shulchani, he would go and give the larger matbeya, he would give him the smaller matbeyas, and of course the shulchani would charge a small fee, compensation for his services. Okay, so now a person left a pikadon of money. He's not going to the shulchani to do a business transaction. Simply, he left a pikadon there. So now the question is, what is the status of those monies? It says the Mishnah, im tzururin, tzururin means if they're bundled up in a bundle, in other words, they're tied up, lo yishtamish behen. So then this is just like a regular standard pikadon. The shulchani should go and put it away in a safe place. What would be a safe place? We learned yesterday, under the ground, or in the wall, or on top of the ceiling, under the roof, all those different ideas that we had yesterday in the Gemara, but you have to put it in the same place, and lo yishtamish behen, you shouldn't have anything to do with it. This shulchani is not getting paid, therefore he's just a regular shomer chinam. L'fichachem avdu, if the monies get lost, ein chay b'achriyusan. Why is he not chayiv b'achriyusan? Because a shomer chinam is potter b'gnev v'aveda, he's only chayiv b'pshia. On the other hand, mutar, what happens if the monies are open? He gave him an open bundle of money and he handed it over, then yishtamish behem. By leaving it open, that's an implicit invitation to the shulchani. You can use these funds. I'm sure every couple of days, a couple of weeks, you get short on small change, and therefore you can use some extra singles and extra fives and extra tens. By all means, use it, gizundait. And that's why he left the bundle open. He didn't say expressly, but the fact that he left it open and not didn't tie it down is a siman that he was permitting the shulchani to use those funds. And therefore, lefichach, and therefore, im avdu, if they were lost, chayim b'chriyusan, then in fact he is chayim b'chreis. Now notice the Mishnah uses the term im avdu, which suggests that he's now upgraded, if you will, from a shomer chinam to a shomer sachar, because a shomer sachar is chayiv b'gneiva v'aveda. Our Mishnah does not mention the case of oynis. What happens in ne'entz, if there was some sort of oynis, a major earthquake, a hurricane, or tornado, or whatever, and as a result he loses the funds, our Mishnah is silent. So that's going to be a discussion that we're going to have in the Gemara, in Machlokes Amoraim. How far-reaching is this term im avdu? Is it just a simple gnev aveda, or would it even include an oynis? So stay tuned to Mir Tashem till we get to the Gemara. And now the Mishnah continues and says, until now we spoke about a shulchani. What happens if you leave the money to wait with a balabais? Now balabais doesn't have the same need for smaller denominations that a shulchani does, and so therefore, bein tzururim bein mutarim, even if you gave him an open peckle of money, lo yishtamish behen, he should not use those funds. Why not? Because he didn't intend that the balabais use those funds, and the balabais really doesn't need to use those funds, except for exceptional circumstances. But on a regular basis, he doesn't need to use those funds, and therefore, the fichach says the Mishnah, im avdu, if they got lost, ein echad b'chiyusan. In other words, he's just a regular shoy machinam. Just be careful not to be posheya, and if he was not posheya, then he did what a shomer chinam is supposed to do, and he's off the hook. What about a chenveni? No, a chenveni is somewhere in between a shulchani and a balabais, because a chenveni does need to go and change larger denominations from time to time. I mean, that's not his business, but what happens if somebody just bought a whole group of groceries, and the whole thing came to $17.62, and the person hands him a $20 bill, so he obviously has to have change. So under most circumstances, the chenvin has enough change for all of his customers, but from time to time he needs more. So therefore we have a machlokes in the Mishnah, is a chenveni kibalabais nidre meir, and therefore what the meir says, lo yishtamish ben, don't use the funds, even if they're mutarin, even if they are open, it wasn't a sealed package, even if it's open, don't use the funds. You're like about to buy his computers. No, the chenveni is kishulchani, and therefore, if he needs to use those funds, he's entitled, just like the shulchani can use it. he can use it, and in fact, as a result, if in fact it's mutarin and he intends using it, then like we have the Mishnah of the Chayav B'Chriyusa. Okay, Zok Dimar, we started off that the person gave a pikadoin, it was tsururin. The monies were bundled. Zok Dimar, Mishim de tsururin, lo yishtamish ben. Just because they happen to be bundled up, don't use them. Use shulchani, don't use them. You can only use them when they are mutarin. So what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is, when normally if you leave a pikadon with anyone, then you don't use it, you don't leave him with dollars out in the open. You wouldn't go over to him here. It'd take $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. You would normally put it in a wallet, in a pouch, in a in a purse, or something. Or at the very least, you're going to go and take a baguette and make a tzroiros. You're going to go and put the money in and tie the ends of the handkerchief or something. In other words, you're going to bundle it up. So that's just the normal way of things. And just because a person bundles up the money when he hands it over to Shulchani, it's as if he says on it, prohibited, don't use these funds. You're right. If it was just tzrurin, a simple tie, 100% right. Giving that to Shulchani is an invitation, go and use it. However, it's chasumin, some sort of seal on top, that you have to break the seal to be able to open it, then lo yishtamish. That's a clear message. This was not intended for your use. Rameri, Omer Rameri gives a very similar teretz. It doesn't have to have a chasima. If you made a kesher mishuna, not just one knot, he made a double knot, a triple knot, he made it in a different way than most people make these knots. Why did he make a kesher mishuna? That was his way of saying, please don't use them, leave them inside the vital, inside this pouch, and in a month from now, I'll be able to tell whether he used the funds or not. That's why he made the kesher mishuna in the first place. There's another version, not that Rameri said definitively, the kesher mishuna, don't use it, but boy Rameri, kesher mishuna mai. In other words, I agree with Rav Asi or Rav Yehuda, if you do bitzurin v'chassumin, that certainly tips the guy off, tells the shulchani, don't touch these funds. But what happens if you didn't do a chassumin mit asir, but you did a funny type of knot that everybody notices, this is a very strange knot that he did. What is that? Is that a message, please don't use it? Or no, people have a tendency to do things in funny ways from time to time. We got to wait for Leon Navi and Mirat Hashem to answer the shayla according to the second version.
Why, if it's unusual knot, that's shayla. You put it in that special, unusual way, so don't touch it.
Maybe for you and for me it's unusual. Maybe this is the way he always makes his knots. He ties it up right over left, left over right. He does a double, triple knot. But maybe for him, this is what he normally does. But everybody else, it's kind of strange. So did he do it intentionally? Did he do it unintentionally? Mutar Nishtamish Ben. Back in the Mishnah, it says that if it's mutar, if the monies are open, in other words, he gave him a bundle of money, but he left it open. So this is an invitation. Didn't I use it? And just give it back to me, Mir Tashem, at the time of the end of this Pikodin period. So now we have a Machloikis Animar. We noted already that in the Mishnah it says that if the monies are open, he can use them. And lefichach im avdu chay b'chriyusan. The Mishnah uses the term aveda. What about if it wasn't aveda? If it was a din of an oynis, not a din, it was a situation of an oynis. Omravuna v'afilin ansu. Even if these monies were lost, not as a result of a normal aveda, but because of an earthquake. Some of you may know that a few days ago there was an earthquake here in New York. And so therefore, things shook. Baruch Hashem, it was only 4.8 on the Richter scale, but had it been, Chas V'Shalom, much, much worse, then it would have been tsuris, right? In Korea or Japan or somewhere, there was a recent earthquake. A whole bunch of people never passed away. So Nebuchadnezzar wore the money, like the rechush of Korach, could have fallen into the earth. So the question is, what's the din of Nansu? Says Rav Huna, afilu Nansu. Aiva Avdu Ktani, since Samishti uses the term Avdu, that sounds like a normal Aveda. Then, a Shem Resachar is Chai. But if it was a real Oynes, L'chayu V'Yipata. And the more Kidda Rabba, the Yom Rabba, Nignevu, Balistan Mezuyan, Avdu Shetov Tzvinosa B'Yom. Rabba is not talking in our Mishnah, he's talking elsewhere, but he's saying that the terms Nignevu and Avdu, although that sounds like a Gneva V'Aveda, Lav Davka. Nignevu could be a list of Mezuyan, which is considered to be like an Oynes. You don't normally expect when you're walking down the street, that a terrorist is going to come to you with two guns and going to say, Mister, your money or your life, hand over the funds. So that's a real oinus. You can't go and give away your life for the other person's pikadre. Or of Lusha Tavis Ganas Bayam. You went, you were one of the original people going on the Titanic, which cost $1.2 billion, or whatever it cost, and everybody thought, oh, this is the sturdiest ship known to mankind, and then everybody knows it, unfortunately, it sunk, and I'm sure not only with the number of people aboard, but with a huge amount of jewelry and monies and all the rest. So that was Avdu. Nobody can find the monies now in the Titanic, I mean, unless you hire special divers and spend millions of dollars. But under normal circumstances, these monies are lost forever. Says Rabbah, the term Avdu includes such an oinus that you never would have expected the Titanic should go and sink. Oh, how could it be? And you're still chayv. Exactly. So, says our Gemara, according to Rav Huna, the word Avdu is lav dafka and aveda. It includes even an oinus.
Like it would be a shoyl, right?
Exactly. As if he was a shoyl. He gets like an automatic upgrade as if he happens to be a shoyl. Rashi points out that this afil nensu is even if he never ever uses the monies. Just the fact that he's permitting him to use the monies, that already converts him into a shoyl, because kol hano'a shuloi, you can use the funds at any time you want. So even if he left them hiding in the corner the whole time, well ensconced in the karka, in the wall, or whatever, nevertheless, since the monies were open, if you look at the Rashi, the fifth line from the top, sixth line from the top of the Amud Vafilu Nenzu, says Rashi, Kamer Masnisen the Chai Bach Yusuf, Vafilu Loinish Damish Ben, he didn't touch any of the funds. To me, hash to have a shoyl alayu. By the fact that he says, here, I give you the funds, and the money bag, the pouch was open, that's as if he's saying, okay, it's all yours, do whatever you want with it. Says Rav Huna, he now becomes propelled, he becomes upgraded to a shoyl, Chai Boitz. Rav Nachman Omer, back to the Gemara, Nenzuloi, no, if it was an oinus, he's off the hook. And Rashi explains that it's not just a question of he holds that your oinus is chayv, and he holds that oinus is potter. If you look at the next Rashi, Nenzuloi calls Manchelon Yishtamish. If he left them in the pouch and he didn't touch them, Loi have a shoyl. Elo Avdu Davka, chayv kishoymer sochar. Aha. So therefore, what is Rav Nachman saying? So it's not that this machloikis is mikotze el hakotze, it's really that Rav Huna is saying, as long as you have the permit to use the funds, automatically you become now a shoyl. If nansu, chay. Rav Nachman says, if you actually use the funds, then you take a shoyl. I agree with you. What the Mishnah is telling us is, what happens if the shulchani didn't use the funds? He just left them in the corner, left them in the ground, whatever. It did a great job of shmirah. Nenzu, you would be potter. You know, be chayiv for gneva vaveda.
Why is he shomer sachar? He's more of a shomer chinam.
Very good. So the Gemara is going to ask your kash in another month. But in the meantime, says our Gemara, Rav Nachman says he gets an upgrade to a shomer sachar. That's why the Mishnah says avdu. However, he doesn't get upgraded all the way to shoyl, only to shomer sachar, unless and until he actually uses the funds, and then he becomes first class. He becomes a shoyl with his chayiv even bonds. Omli Rova Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is the one that we just had to Nensulai. Lidi Dach, according to you, the Amis Nensulai. Alma Loi have a shoyl alayu. Then you see that he's not a shoyl. What's the next Mois Kasha? He's shoyl Loi have a. Who asked that question?
Rava did.
And who else? You asked it just a moment ago. So I said, the Gemara is going to ask you a question. If he's not a shoyl, why is he in a shoyl Misacha? If he's not using the funds, why isn't it like a standard shoyl Machina? You're only chayiv b'shir. You're not chayiv b'gnei b'aveda. Why does he become a shoyl misach? Amalek, so Rav Nachman says, b'ham b'din olach. I give you a partial concession, says Rav Nachman to Rav. D'hoyu v'hanehaneh. Since he, the shulchani, has hanah. What is the hanah that he has? That he has an open invitation to use these open funds if and when he needs these funds. So even though he's not using the funds, Baruch Hashem, he has enough funds without these funds. But he has the hanor that he knows he has the right to use it. Ah, because of that hanor that he receives, mahana v'hahu, he goes and gives back hanor to the mafki that left the monies with him. What is that? Mahana bahu no, the imisrami le zvina, the isba ravcha zovin bahu. The shulchan says to himself, I'm having tremendous hanor. What happens if there's going to be, somebody's going to come in tomorrow and he's going to tell me that he has a fire sale, he has to pay off his mortgage, and he needs the money, and therefore he's selling things at a real discount. I have a Tesla car that normally goes for $80,000. I'll sell it to you 50% off, $40,000. Normally I don't have so much cash, but since he left me this whole big bundle of money, oh, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. I can really make it big, and then I can flip it and sell it for $60,000 and make $20,000. That's tremendous enough. Because of that, have you shame with Sachar.
Similar annoyed that insurance gives to a person.
Yeah, in a sense. So this person says, I am willing to be liable for a higher standard. Since he's giving me this hanor, so I'm willing to machayiv myself to have a higher level of liability. What is that level of liability? That of a Shem Resachar. A Shem Resachar gets paid. Yeah, he's getting paid. What is he getting paid? He has the right to use these funds. Oh, that right to use the liquid funds, that's it's a major fringe benefit that although he would not otherwise have that that availability of these types of monies. So for him, it's a tremendous. And if you're going to tell him, he's a shulchani, he's not a soicher, fine. The shulchani, somebody might come to him with $1 million and say, I need to go make this all into fives. How am I ever going to get fives for $1 million? That's going to be a hard, since this guy gave me the peck of the money, I'll be able to go and change. I'll be able to go and take a nice compensation and get 3%, 5% on $1 million. That's a lot of money. So because of these major monetary opportunities, he is mechayiv himself to be like a shemesachar. He's getting payment. What's the payment? This availability of the funds. Therefore, he is upgraded to a shemesachar. Rav Nachman asked on Rav Huna, remember Rav Huna said in our Mishnah, even if you didn't use the funds, you automatically become a shoyl and chayiv bo'itzin. Azay, we have another Mishnah, ha-mavkin mois eitzel shulchani. Again, we start off the same way, but as you'll see in a moment, things are going to go on a diversion, and that is that the one that was the mafkid was not a regular normal guy. He was the gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash. And the gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash had, therefore, two types of monies. His own monies that, you know, from his own mishpucha, his own household, as well as the monies of the Hegdish that he was in charge of. And unfortunately, he made a bubu, and he switched one bundle of money, which was Hegdish money, and gave it to the Shulchani as a pikadon. Instead of giving him his own private funds, he by mistake gave the bundle of the Hegdish funds. Okay, so far nothing has happened. So Amavkin Moisei Tzolchani gave him the pikadon. In Tzerurim, if they happen to be bundled up, Leishtamish Ben, like we learned in the Mishnah. Lefichachim Hoitzi, what happens if the Shulchani didn't bother with the fact that it happens to be Tzerurim? He plied it open, he opened up the Chasima. It was a Ksiva Vachasima Toiva, but he ripped it apart, he opened up the seal, or he opened up the Kesher Mishuna, and he used these funds. Im Hoitzi, Loimola Gizbar, the Gizbar is off the hook, because it wasn't the Gizbar that was Moitzi from Hegdish to Chulin, he gave it to him sealed. He had no business opening it up. I mean, the Gizbar had no business giving him the bundled money in the first place. But bottom line is, as long as he didn't touch the funds, we're okay. Im Hoitzi, Loimola Gizbar. However, in Mutarim, but if they were open, therefore Yishtamish Ben, you can use them, the Shulchani can use it, and Lefichach, if the Shulchani used it, even though the Shulchani had no idea that this was Hegdish funds, Lefichach im Hoitzi, if he was Moitzi, Mola Gizbar. It's not the Shulchani that was the Moyel, it was the Gizbar by handing him the Hegdish funds in the first place. Okay, so what did it say in the Reisha? It says, Lefichach im Hoitzi, Loimol HaGizbar. If he was Moitzi, took it out of the Trurin, then he is not Moil. Only if it was Mutarim, then the Gizbar is Moil. If you're going to go and tell me that he gets automatically upgraded to the status of a Shoyel, that's what you said, Rav Huna.
Right.
And Rav Huna said, he is Chayiv Achrayis. Aha, so Ibazoi, my Ir Yahoitzi, what difference does it make if he was Moitzi or not Moitzi? Afilu Loihoitzi Nami. Just by the fact that the Gizbar handed over the funds, which were funds of Hegdish, and he gives it to the Shulchani, treating it like Chulin, why don't you say that already then there was a Me'ila? Because he's giving him the right to go and use the funds. The distinction between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, remember, was Rav Huna, just based on the heter to use the funds, says Rafuna, you already upgraded to that of a shayla. Rav Nachman says only if you actually use the funds. But what does it say here in this brayso or this Mishnah? It says just like exactly like Rav Nachman said, im hoitzi, im loy hoitzi, who cares, yo hoitzi, nish hoitzi. According to Rav Huna, that says just the right to use the funds, that already gives you the status of a shayla, then the same thing should be ila too. Just the fact that he handed over the funds. It says, v'mutarin, yishtamish behen lefichach, im hoitzi, if he used it, more like gizma. What happens if he didn't use it? Then there wouldn't be a me'ila. Why isn't there a me'ila? Just the fact that you allowed him to go and use it, then he's upgraded to a shoyl, and therefore he should be, by allowing him to go and use it, that in itself should be a me'ila, asks Rav Nachman to Rav Huna. V'mchamr tzafil anhenzu, ma'ir yohitzaf ele hoitzinam. Omalei. So Rav Huna says, who adin afogav to loyhoitzi. The truth be told, that even if loyhoitzi, just the fact that he handed over the funds, it says, you can use it, that is already being moil. You're giving Hegdish money, and you're saying, you have the availability to use these funds. Oh, he's already bestowed him with a fringe benefit from these funds. He's already moil. The only thing is, since the beginning of the Braisa was, im tzrurim, lo yishtamish behem lefichach, im hoitzi, lo yimor lagizba. The gizba put up a sign on the bag, don't use these funds. It was tzrurim vachasum. So therefore, the gizbar is not responsible if the guy was moitzi. The other guy was the one that pried it open. Ah, so therefore, since in the reish it says imhoitzi, so that for poetic symmetry, the Baal HaMishnah wrote, Torah Mishtamish Velavichem imhoitzi. But the truth of the matter is, says Rav Huna, even if loyoitzi, just the fact that he left it mutar, he left it open, that's already a me'ila on the part of the gizbar for handing over hegdish monies and saying to him, it's all yours, you can use it for hedging. So therefore, don't be so particular on the lashon. Just trying to be consistent with the lashon. Yes, sir.
We have a principle that me'ila has to be hanav sheva pruta.
Mm-hmm.
The hanav, liquidity and availability, if you don't use it, it's nice. It gives you a feeling of security, of insurance, as Mr. Greenland just said. Yeah. But if you don't actually use it, you don't get charged anything.
That question was bothering me too. Apparently, what the Gemara is telling us sub silentio, in other words, telling us
implicitly
that this availability of the funds is worth more than a shavah pruta. If you were to go to a company and say, give me a line of credit that I should be able to go and use, sure, I'll give you a line of credit, but it's going to cost you $50 per month or whatever, even right. If you don't use the funds. So he's giving a line of credit by giving the bungle, even though he doesn't actually use the funds. Zok the Mishnah. Hashaleach yad v'pikodoin. What happens if a person shaleach yad? We've already had this a couple of days ago. It says in the Pasuk, im leisholach yodim umalechas v'yayu, that one of the requirements of a shomer is that even if the shomer has done a perfect job in watching this pikodoin, but he's not allowed to be shaleach yad in the pikodoin. What exactly means shlichas yad? Basically means he's using the pikodoin. How, when, where? We're going to discuss this in greater detail in the Gemara. And a person who shaleach yad, the Gemara is going to say in the Amud Beis, could be has a status like a goslin, because you have no business doing anything with this pikodoin. Your only job is to leave it there in the corner, not to move it, not to touch it, not to rub. This person did use it. He was shaleach yad. Oh, so what's the din now? So beishami amim yilkem chosav yasef, or beisol amim kishas hoitzo, and bekiva oimer kishas hatvir. You have a three-way machloikis, and the three-way machloikis is how much the person is going to have to pay based on his being shaleach bo yad. Now one means bechoser ubiyaser. What Beishama is saying is that the shoimer who is shaleach yad, he's a bad guy, and therefore we throw the books at him, and regardless of whether the pikodin went up in value or went down in value, he's always going to have to pay the greater of the two amounts. The original amount, normally we hold by a goslin, he has to pay kishas hagzela.
Right.
However, if afterwards he was moitzi or shaleach yad pikodin, and the price has gone up in the meantime, then he's going to have to go and pay at the higher price of when he actually used it, when he was moitzi. On the other hand, if it went down in value, then he's going to have to pay like kishas hagzela, like it was originally. Let's take a quick look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. See the first Rashi in the Mishnah, about five lines higher. Yilkum chasub yaser. Im chasru demea, if the price went down, shehuzla b'shuk, You go to this particular item, a gold watch or whatever it is, a barrel of wine, and in the marketplace the prices have gone down. What you're going to have to do is, if at the time of the shlichus yad, you put your hands on this barrel or on this watch or whatever to go and use it, from that moment on, the shoimer is now converted into a quasi-gazlin. Oh, what is the price? What's the value of it at that time? So therefore, if it went down in value, and now you go to Bezdin, the Bezdin will say you have to pay like the original shlichus yad when you were shlich yad. We're talking about he was moitzi. Moitzi means that he shalech yad v'pikodin and it no longer exists. If you're talking about, for instance, a barrel of wine, he drank up all the wine. There's no wine left. However, if although he was shalech yad, that he took this barrel with the intention of drinking, but ultimately he didn't drink any, and he put it back, then, avim yeshna be'en k'mois shegazla, if it's still be'en, the same way that he stole it, oim le'en shelchol lefenecha, here, I give you back the barrel. Yes, it's true, I was not a nice guy, I had the intention of using some of that wine, but I give you the whole barrel back, so even though it went up, it went down, it makes no difference, I just give you back the same pikot. K'namrin and gabi marbeya v'nifsal, truma v'nitmes, like we had back in Bava Kamma and Daf Tzadik Vav, as you'll recall.
Yes.
So that's when we're talking about when it was chaser, meaning you started off at the time that the person was shlech boyad, he decided, I am taking this barrel, takes the barrel, moves it, I intend using it tonight for the Suda, and then after that his wife comes and says, no, we got plenty of wine, we don't need that barrel. Okay, we don't need it. Puts it back. But in the meantime, the price went down. Okay, what happens if ultimately he was moitzi? He did use some of the wine. So how much do you have to go and pay? So we're going to go and see. If originally when he took the barrel, he was shalech bayad, it was worth $50. And now when he was moitzi, drank some of the wine, it went down to $25. He's going to have to pay the higher amount because he was shalech bayad is like the shas hagzela. So what happens, however, if it went up in value? Ubi yeser, next Rashi. It went up in price. The acher kachitzia, and then subsequently he drank from that wine. Like in the yeser, then he's going to have to pay the higher price. The yeser demet l'shalom kishas hoitza. So therefore, he gets hit from both sides. And of course, it's ethically and morally, we can understand the Mishnah perfectly because this guy is a bad guy. He's supposed to be a nice shoimer. Instead, he was shlech b'yad to go and take from it. So he's slightly or bigly crooked. Therefore, when he was shlech b'yad, that will fix the original price of the gzeil. Yisham k'shas gzeil. Okay. When was he moitz? In other words, when did he actually use the wine? If it went up in value, he's going to have to go and pay the higher value, because that hoitza is also considered to be a shasa gzela, because that's when he's using it. He's going to be hit b'yeser. And if it goes down in value when he's moitzi, then he's going to have to pay like the original price, kishasa gzela, when he was shalech b'yad initially. So either way, he's going to get hit by the higher amount.
Yeah. Do we entertain the idea of partial, because in case of wine, for instance, mm-hmm. it was a barrel of wine, and mm-hmm. he consumed half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is he chayav for only the half that he consumed? Or is he higher for the value of the entire barrel, and basically the shirayim belong to him now at the higher price?
It's a good question. Rashi says, as long as this thing is be'en, you can go and give it back.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So but it's not an intact barrel.
Understood.
And so it's already, and time is marching on because it starts to spoil once you open it.
Well, it's good. It's good. Half should be, it's only the other half he has liable for.
So if the wine connoisseurs tell you that as a result of opening up the wine and taking out half of it, the whole wine has now become damaged. Until now, this wine would have lasted, and you could have sold it in 100 years from now as a 100-year wine, and everybody would pay the $100,000. Oh, 100-year wine, blah, 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 blah. By opening it up, it's going to be a 100-day wine, because in 100 days, the whole thing is going to go spoil. Then you talk again, say that, Harishu l'cholafenech. However, if the rest of the wine still remains intact and fresh as it was before, presumably you can go and just give, I'm giving you half a bottle, that nothing has changed. The half a barrel is here, and I'm going to pay you for the other part that it was mighty. So that's Beisham. Beisil says Gishas Hitzah. And the Gemara is going to have a big, big shaila. What does Beisil mean? Gishas Hitzah means when he was Shalech Bayad and he was Moitzi Mimakoimoi. Or does it mean Gishas Hitzah min Hu Oilam? For instance, the barrel of wine that he drank up the wine. Which is Gishas Hitzah? We'll see shortly. Rekiv Oimer Gishas Hatvia. Gishas Hatvia means when he's brought into Bezin and Bezin decides, you, Shoyma, you're guilty. Oh, at that moment that you're guilty, that's the psak din abezin. That's when you're going to have to pay whatever value is at that moment.
Tzvia yeah, is Nigmar Adin or the beginning of the claim?
We'll see Mitchum in the Amid Beis, and it talks about the psak din abezin.
Okay.
Jotting Amara Omer Rabba. Now, Rabba is not commenting on the Mishnah. He's just telling you halacha, and then we're going to have to try to figure out, does Rabba hold like Beis Shammai? Like Beisil, like Rabbi Kiva, how does he hold? And Rabbi is not talking about a situation of a pikodoin, he's talking about a stama gazlan. Omer Rabba, ha'im man de gozel chavita de chamra. By the way, just note that on the side there's another girsa Rava. The reason why I note that is because on the Gemara on the Amid Beis is going to talk about Rava, so it'll be better, it'll shtim better if you have Rava on the Amid Aleph and on the Amid Beis. You'll see. So Omer Rabba, ha'im man de gozel chavita de chamra. Somebody stole a chavius, a barrel of wine, mechavre from his chaver. You'll recall we had this Gemara in Bava Kamma. Initially, when he stole the chavius, it was worth a zuz. And now, it's worth four. Okay, so he stole it. At the time that he stole it, it was worth a zuz. Then, he held on to the barrel for a month, and the prices shot up. And now it's worth four. And at this point, he decided to go, either Tavra, either he broke the barrel, or he drank from the wine in the barrel. How much did he have to pay? Mishal Marbah, he has to go and pay four. Even though when he stole it, it was only worth one. Because now, Rashi says, it's as if he made a second gzela. Since these, the contents of the barrel are still intact, he didn't drink until now, so then there were really two gzelas. Gzela number one is when he stole the barrel. But he could have returned it be'en, right? He could have returned it. By the fact that a month later he decided we need it for the Arba Koises for Pesach night, of course it's a mitzvah bo ba'aveira, but that's a separate story. We need it, we're going to open up the barrel, we're going to give it to the home mishpacha, and we need it for Torah barrel. So now we drank it on Pesach night. As you know, when it comes Pesach, all the prices shoot up. For some reason, it always seems to happen by accident year after year. Anyway, so now it's worth four instead of being worth one. So, Tavre Shas, Mishal Mabo. This is like a new gzela, Shas Masa, when he's drinking it. What happens Itma Mela? What happens the barrel that he had stolen was standing there in the corner? He wakes up one morning only to find out that the barrel had broke overnight, it burst overnight. So then Mishal Mzuza, because he didn't do a new Maisa Gzela. The only reason why you're paying now is because of the original Gzela of a month ago. Well, a month ago was worth a Zuz, so you have to pay your Zuz. My timer. Given the Iisa, were it to be still intact and in existence, Hadr Lamara, you could have given it back to end the way it is. So he shot the Kashasi lay when he drinks from it. Even though he stole it already a month ago, but it's like a brand new gzela because he could have returned the chavius that he had stolen.
Who says it wasn't worth four when it broke? I mean, why are we saying, why are we giving the historical price when it broke on its own?
The fact.
We're not finished.
What
do we say? We're in the middle of a sentence. Okay. Let's complete the sentence, and all your questions hopefully will be addressed and answered and resolved. So now again, he stole that it was worth one. Everybody knows one. In fact, the price is still attached to the barrel. Now, a month later, he decides we're going to go and drink from it. And either he breaks the barrel or he drinks from the barrel. At this time, says the Gemara, since he could have given back the barrel totally intact to the Balaam, no questions asked, it's exactly the way it was originally, sealed and solid, every good. It's like it's a brand new gzela. It's as if this person stole this chavius twice. Once when he physically moved it out of the house of the owner and he moved it into his house, but he could have given it back. So now when he breaks it or he drinks from it, so that's a new gzela. Therefore, we have to go and pay the four. What happens if, in fact, he didn't break it or he didn't drink from it, but it mamameil, that was your question. Mishalom Zuzu, why do you pay Zuzu? Because my time, hashli avulay midi, this broke in the middle of the night. He was sleeping. He had nothing to do with it. There was no new maisig zela now. Am I come mechayiv? They said, why are you being mechayiv? I didn't do anything. I was sleeping. Oh, you mechayiv? You shat to the gozla because you stole it a month ago. Oh, a month ago you shat the zuzahu the shavi. Then it was worth a one. That's why I only have to go and pay you the one that it was worth. B'shas ha'gizek. Fine, it's good. Now that Rabbi has told us his halacha legabi gzeila, we want to kind of see how does Rabbi hold vis-a-vis our Mishnah. Tanan, Beisil Amr. We start with Beisil, because only a pasuk like Beisil, right? Bisham b'makom Beisil. So what does Beisil say? He says, Kishas Hoitzah. Tell you my Kishas Hoitzah. What do the words Kishas Hoitzah mean? That's a very vague or ambiguous term. Ilay Mikshas Hoitzah mina oilam. Does that mean when he's Moitzah mina oilam? In other words, he was shaleach b'yad. Let's assume again we're talking about a barrel of wine. So we're now talking apples to apples, barrels to barrels. And what means Hoitzah? When he's moitzah min oilam, means that he drinks up the wine. Ubamai. So now when you say that he has to pay kishas Hoitzah, did the price go up and die? The price go down and die? The price remains the same, then you don't have to talk about kishas Hoitzah. It's all the same. But if it goes up or go down, so what did Beisil refer to? If you're talking about kishas Hoitzah min oilam, when he drank it up, if the price went down on this barrel of wine, is there any man diyomar that would say that when you stole it, it was worth four? Now remember, our mission is not talking about stealing, but shalech bayad. So when he took the barrel with the intent to go and be moitzi, to go and drink some of that wine, some or all of it. At that point, that's what the Gemara calls the shasa gzeila. Right, he's now acting crookedly, because until now he was the trustworthy shomer, and now unfortunately he's no longer trustworthy. He took it al das to be shlech, but he had to use it. So zok to Yomara, I b'chaser, you're talking about it at the time that he was shlech, but yad, it was four, and now when he actually is moitzim in the oil and he drinks it, it's gone down to one. Is there anybody that would say you only have to pay one? But he certainly has to go and pay four. That's when he took it, you know, a month ago. Avadi has to pay four. And is he saying that you have to pay that if it's gone up in price, then you have to go and pay the higher price? That's what Beishamai said in the Mishnah. Did you always get hit if you happen to be a shomer of pikadon? If the price went down, you have to pay kishas gzeila like the original. And if the price went up, then you have to go and pay now at the time that you're moitzi min oilam. So that's Beishamai. So what's Beisil arguing with Beishamai? They are mirror images of each other. Elusuf Yumara, Muzn lechoyres on pshita, kishas hoitzoa, libeis abalim. When it's said in our Mishnah, Beisil oimrim, kishas hoitzoa, it doesn't mean hoitzoa min oilam. It means hoitzoa libeis abalim, meaning that at the moment that he decided that I'm going to be shaleach boyad, I don't want to keep this chavis on behalf of the mafkid, I want to use it. I smell the wine through the cracks. It really smells good. I'd like to go and serve it at the next mishnah, or serve it at the seder, etc. So that's what he meant. Kishas hoitzoah mibeis balim. The original shlichas yad, you go after that time, that's how much you have to go and pay. And that's what Beisil meant. So then Rabba seems to hold like Beishamai and not like Beisil. Because remember, Rabba said that if he originally took the wine, and at the time that he took it, it was one, and then after that it went up to four, and then he drank it, he has to go and pay the extra, the four. That's like Beishamai said. But you're saying now, according to Beisil, if you have the same situation of Haitzor Shlichas Yat, and then after that he drank from it, and what happened in the meantime? The price went up. You're telling me that according to Beishamai, you have to pay the higher price of time of the shtia. That's the yasser, right? Nilka b'yasser. However, according to Beisil, you're saying, no, you're going to keep on paying kishas etzoma beis balim when you took it out of the balim's home, which was the cheaper price. So you're telling me that Rabba passed like Beishamai against Beisil? Could that be? Omlech Rabba, no. Yes, everybody agrees that the price went up in a gzeila situation. Avad and avada, they would paskin like me, and Beishamai would agree, and Beisil would agree that even though there's the din that you have to mishalim kishas hagzeila, but if, like in my case, that the person stole a barrel and he only drank from the barrel a month later, Avad, you have to go and pay B'yasser, you have to pay the greater amount, because that's the new Shas Gzela. And Kol HaGazlanim Mishalim Kishas HaGzela. So and there's no machlekes. So what's the machlekes in our Mishnah?
He has to replace it for the value that he has to pay. The
exactly. Part. It, whatever it's
made logical that...
since it's worth now four, he has to pay back the four.
Why should he lose?
The Baal would miss the opportunity.
There's an
opportunity loss. Right,
exactly. Yeah. So Timur, so where is the machlokes? So Timur, the machlokes is bechaser. What means a chaser? He doesn't mean chaser v'yeser like we have in our Mishnah, but he means legabi beshami sabi shlichas yad ein etzricha chisaroin v'chi chaser b'shusa didei chaser u'beisil sabi shlichas yad tzricha chisaroin v'chi chaser b'shusa demorei chaser. What does the Gemara mean to say? We said in our Mishnah that the person was shaliach yad, right? As shaliach yad b'pikodin, b'shami oimrim, etc. Now, what is the definition of shlichas yad? Literally, shlichas yad means you put your hand on it and you move this item from its original place and you move it somewhere else. At that time, does it have to be that you were mechaser, that you took some of the contents? Or is it enough that you just moved it away, even without doing anything? So Beishamai holds shlichas yad in its shlichas yad. Just the fact that you moved it from place to place, from the right corner to the left corner, al das. We're not talking about because he's doing Pesach cleaning and they want to be able to vacuum behind the... Exactly. We're talking about that he actually wants to move it because he wants to take it for himself. But at the moment, he didn't take anything from the barrel. The barrel is still intact. Oh, so now, since shlichas yad ein shlichas yad, so as soon as he takes it, he is already establishing, if you will, ba'alus over it. He's like doing kinyanei gzeila, and he's now making himself into a gazlan. V'chi chaser. Now, if and when it goes down in price, v'shusa didei chaser, it's on his own time, it's on his own clock that it's gone down in price. Because vis-a-vis the original owner, you're going to have to go and pay the original price at the time that you were shaleach b'yad. So even though it went down in price, that's what it says in the Mishnah, you're nilka b'chaser, too bad as you say, sorry fellow, the bottom line is, at the time that you shaleach yad, even though you didn't use the contents, you already at that time, I got it, but I gazel, but I no good nick, and therefore if afterwards you do use it, even if it went down in price, you're still going to have to pay the higher price.
You can't say Harish Lachov Manacha.
Oh, one second. U'beisil savi, shlichas yad, tzrich chasar. Shlichas yad requires chasar. Therefore, v'chi chaser b'shusa demori chaser. When he took that original barrel, nothing happened. He's not a nice guy. What he did was immoral, maybe unethical. But l'maisa, he doesn't get the status of a gazlan. Why? Because for a person to be a shaleach b'yad, and therefore call him a quasi gazlan, that's only if he actually is machzer, he actually uses some of the content. The moving it with the intention of using the content, nothing has happened yet. And therefore, v'chi chaser, when he eventually does use the content, and it's gone down in value, b'shusa demori chaser, it's as if he's stealing it now for the first time. Well, but I was shaleach yad a week ago, a month ago. Since there was no chisaron at the time, it's just like moving the furniture from one end of the apartment to the other end, from one end of the room to the other end. Nothing happened. You didn't take anything. Okay, it's not nice that you took it with the bad intentions, but intentions are intentions, but it's not a mas. When he actually is machzirit by taking now a cup of wine and drinking, that's when he establishes the gzeila, and at that point says, v'chi chaser b'rishus in the mori chaser, and that's when he has to pay now at this point. Ah, so therefore says Rabbah, if you were talking about a classic gzeila like I was talking about, that you steal from somebody else's house, so then you have two times gzeila. Gzeila number one is when he actually moved the contents from house to house, and therefore, like you said, you can always return it back to the end. That's one gzeila. Then there's another gzeila. What's the other gzeila? When you actually use the contents of the barrel of wine and you go and drink it up. Oh, so how do you pay? So then it depends whether it went up in price or whether it went down in price, like we said before. The rabbi says, to that everybody would agree with me, if it went up in price when he was machzerit, he's got to go and pay. If it went down in price, he's going to pay kishas gzeila, he's going to be hit from both sides. No, isn't that Beishami in the Mishnah? Nah, Beishami in the Mishnah is not talking about a gzeila case, he's talking about a shlichas yad by pikodin she'ein boch hisorai. If in fact when he took it, he would be machzer some of it already at that time, there would already be a Zayla established at that time according to everybody. We're talking, however, Shlichas Yad She'ein Bo Chisaron. This is only a temporary move that he moved it literally from corner to corner. Shlich Yad. He intends using it, but he didn't use it yet. When does he use it? A month later. By that time, the price has gone up or gone down. Says Beis Shammai, the initial moving of that chavius, the barrel from corner to corner, even though there was no chisaron at the time, that was already kishas exela. And therefore, if it goes down in price by Pesach, of course, a rare nest. Exactly. But if it does go down, you are still chayv according to the original time that you took that barrel, because I consider that to be exela, says Beis Shammai, even though there was no chisaron. But eshlichas yad, ein etzrichin chisaron. So he was already a gazlan then. You have to pay kishas exela. So therefore, if the price of the commodity goes down, you got to pay like the original price when he stole it, meaning when he was shalech poyat. Beisil said, no, shlich yad shlich chesaron. And even though you've moved it from corner to corner, not a nice thing. You don't deserve the Nobel Peace Prize. But lemaisa, you have not established any real gzela yet. And now a month later, when he does take from this barrel, and Baruch Hashem, the price has gone down, Baruch Hashem vis-a-vis this gazlan, this former shoimer now turned gazlan, if it was still in the rishus of the original owner, because there was no gzela until now, but there was no chesaron, that's a skunish. Now is the chesaron, now is the gzela, now is the shas gzela, you're going to pay the current price, not the previous price. Pray tomorrow. El Hadi Amar Rava. Remember, we spoke about Rabbi and Rava. Shlichas Yad Ainat Shlichas Chesaron. Rava's Paskin. We had this already 2 days ago in the Gemara. That Shlichas Yad doesn't require Chesaron. Leimer Rava Di Amar Kimbei Shamai. This is so much more gishmak. If you say that it really wasn't Rava, it was Rava. So now you have an internal steer of Rava and Rava. Rava, you try to go and say, oh, it's not shver on me from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking about Shlichas Yad, and it's talking about Machloikas Shlichas Yad, Shlichas Yad, Shlichas Yad, but I, Rava, can hold like both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because it's too much Shlichas Yad, and I'm talking about a case of Gzela. Right tomorrow, but the same Rava said Shlichas Yad, in Shlichas Yad. And who is that? That's Beis Shammai. Name Rava, the Amakim Beis Shammai. So, even according to, I mean, if we're going to go and be Goydis Rabba, and assuming that that's the only way you can learn the Mishnah, then, Rabba, are you telling us that Rabba is learning that, like Beis Shammai? But this way, if you say both on the Amud Aleph and over here on the Amud Beis, it's all Rabba Rabba. It says Takakash and Rabba himself. Rabba, you're trying to go and say the Mishnah stims according to you, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, everybody. You yourself said, Shlichas Yad, Ein Shlichas Yad, so you're like Beis Shammai, not like Beis Hillel. And says, Gemara, I have a brand new pshat. We're not talking about a case of Shlichas Yad, we're talking about Shetiltel Lahavi Alea Goizlois. Do you remember we had this two days ago?
Yes, you designated a place, you didn't designate a place.
Yeah, that's number one. And number two, the reason why he moved it is not because he wanted to take any of the contents,
right.
He wanted to use it as a stepladder. He wanted to go and get the gozolas from the chicken coop or the dove cut or whatever. He didn't have his ladder, didn't have his nut. So he's going to take over the barrel, he's going to first stand on a chair, and from the chair onto the barrel, and now he'll be tall enough to be able to go and take the gozolas. Ah, so what's the shiloh there? That's not considered to be shlichas yad. Shlichas yad is with the evil intention of using this object or its contents. Here, he just borrowed it, he intends putting it back. Oh, what happens now if this barrel breaks en route or after he puts it back? The person that was shoyl without asking the permission of the mafkid, that's the machloikis in our Mishnah. Beis Shammai is having shoyl shloim midas, is a gazlan haba, v'chi choser b'shusa di day choser, v'beis hillel is having shoyl midas, shoyl haba, v'chi choser b'shusa di mara choser. Basically what the Gemara is telling us is the same shot that we just learned, but instead of calling it shlichas yad, we're going to call it now a shoyl shloim midas. What's the difference in fact between the two? Shlichas Yad means he had the evil intention of taking some of the contents and using it, but at the moment he didn't. It was a Shlichas Yad, Belichis Sarayim, I'm going to use it in the future. At the moment, Gunish, there we had Machlek, Bisham Beisil, is that considered to really be a Gezela from the time that he moved the object because of this bad intention? Or says Beisil, no, Shlichas Yad, Shlichas Sarayim, you moved it, you can move it back and forth 25 times with all bad intentions. What is he considered to be, quote-unquote, a gazlan, when he actually is chosin? So that was the First pshat. Our second pshat is basically the same. We're not talking about that he wants to steal the contents. He just wants to move the barrel. He's going to move it. He wants to be shalish lemidas. Now the question is, if and when he subsequently drinks from the barrel, or the barrel breaks, and all the rest, when was he considered to be, quote-unquote, a goslin by taking something without the permission of the mafkid? Beis Shammai says, shoish lemidas, goslin happened. As soon as he took it and moved it towards the dovecot, towards the chicken coop, to use it as a stepladder, he's already a goslin. V'chichosa. And now, if and when he were to go and drink from the contents of this barrel, b'shusa didei choser, it went down in his rishus, meaning the rishus of the shoel, of this former shomer chinam. And now, as a result, since it's b'shusa didei choser, if the price went down when he took the contents and he drank it, guess what? The real shas gzeila was when he took it initially. At that time, it was four. Since every gazan has to mishalim kishas gzeila, he's going to have to pay four, even though it's gone down, it's now down to one. He was just a shoyl. Okay, what he did was not nice, but he's just a shoyl. Nothing happened. Now, later on, when he eventually takes from the contents a month later, it still belonged all along to the original mafkid. I didn't go and remove it from his rishus just by taking it. I'm just a shoyl, but I'm not a gazlan. When do I become a gazlan? When I take the contents. Oh, by that time it has gone down from four down to one. But again, says Rabba or Rava, this has nothing to do with me, because I'm not talking about a case of a shoyl shloim midas. I'm not talking about a case of shlichas yad without a chasan. I'm talking about a real bona fide gzela. Everybody knows what a gzela is. I stole it, I removed it from the other guy's rishus, and then afterwards I drank it a month later. So there were two shas gzelas. So therefore you can go b'chasa b'lesa, the higher or the lower, as we said before. Frankly, but I still have a problem. El hodi amar Rava, again Rava, shoyl shloim midas l'rabbonan gazlin hava. A shoyl shloim midas without asking anybody, that's also a gazlin. No, nochem olim Rav diyamakim Beis Shammai, because that's how Beis Shammai learned, that's how Rava learned pshat in the Mishnah, that we're talking about a shoyl shloim midas, and that's exactly what Beis Shammai said, that even though all you did was moved it for purposes of using it as a ladder, you're already a gazlin from that time. And therefore, b'chichoser, b'shusad didei choser. If it goes down in price, it's on your clock, it's not on the clock of the original owner. On the original owner, you got to go and pay the higher price. Ella says, Imari, you got a good point. Elohach b'shvach shel gzeila k'mifligi. A brand new pshat in the Mishnah. We're talking about shvach shel gzeila. Now, what means shvach shel gzeila? Until now, when we were talking about Nilka b'chaser v'yeser, we were talking about price fluctuations. As we know, in the market, prices go up, prices go down. Anytime you drive a car and you need gas, you look at the, you go to the gas station, oh, the gas went up again 20 cents, or the gas went down 20 cents. There's constantly price fluctuations. However, that's not what our Mishnah is referring to. Our Mishnah is referring to a case where shvach shel gzeila, that the gzeila itself got more valuable as a result of, if it was a shepsela, now it has more wool,
right?
Or if it was a female cow or shepsela, whatever, it got pregnant. Oh, and now the person that took it waited long enough, and he did a giza, he cut off the wool, and or he waited long enough and he was able to go and get the uber. The question is, how much does he have to pay now? It belongs to the Nigzel. Nigzel means the original owner, and of course that makes a lot of sense. This was his Shepsela. If his Shepsela now, after 3 months, 6 months, has an accumulation of wool, give it back to. So even if you shore it off and you took it off, I'm very sorry, you have to give it back to the Nigzel. Same thing as if there was an Uber, you have to give it back to the Nigzel. It belongs to him. Why does it belong to him? Let's see in a moment. This is not a brand new machloikis, a contrived pshat in our Mishnah. This is a b'feirish b'rayis in the Sanya. Hagoizel eserochel, a person steals a ewe, a female shepsela, and over time it accumulated wool. Gozuzo, and he cut the wool, he shore it. V'yolda, and or that the rochel had a baby. V'shalom isa, v'eskiz isa, v'esplod isa, the remain. Give back everything. The original Rochel and the new Giza, Mit Devlat, all this Gibtzrik. That's to the Migzal. That's Beishamai. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gezei L'Chozer is Be'emet. You go and give it Be'en. What it means Be'en? The way it was when you stole it. When you stole it, this animal was a Reikonis. It was not pregnant. It didn't have the wool. Only accumulated later. You have to go and give back the Gzela, Kishas Gzela. Okay, I'm giving back Shas Gzela. And I'm able to go and keep the rest for myself. The reason why he's able to go and keep it is because he's koina with the Shinoi. What was the Shinoi? Until now it was a Reikonis, and now it's pregnant, and now it gave birth. But previously it was a barren in terms of not having any wool, that has all that wool. And I did a Shinoi Maisa. But does he have to go and pay? He certainly doesn't have to pay the Giza and the Vlad. Whether he has to go and pay the value of it, that go back to Bava Kama, Mi'at Hashem, in another couple of years. But for purposes of our Gemara, what we're saying is, it says in our Mishnah, that Beis Shammai says, Nilka B'chosser B'yasser, we thought we're talking about price fluctuation. No. That's what Rabba or Rava was talking about. That the Chavi Yishol Yayin went up from 1 to 4, 4 down to 1 when he drank it. That's all talking about price fluctuation. In our Mishnah, we're not talking about the case of a barrel. We're talking about the natural growth of the Shlichas Yad. So we're not talking about a barrel. We're talking about a behema. Oh, yeah, he took a behema as a pikadon, and now that behema now has that greater value because of the Giza or because of the Uber. Or the other hand, it could be the other way around. That when you originally took it to Shlichas Yad, it was Uber at that time, or it had the Giza at that time, and then you removed it. So now the question is, how much do you have to go and pay? Says our Mishnah, Nilka, says according to Beis Shammai, is Yilka B'chasu B'yasser. He's going to have to go and pay everything to the original Mafkid, regardless of whether it added wool, it subtracted wool, he took it off, it grew more, he took it off. Same thing with Gabi the Uber. That's the Lashon of Chasu B'yasser. And the Gemara tells us, this is not a remote pshat, this is Meduyak Heitev, getting back to Gemara. Dekanami Diktoni Beishami Omim Yilka B'chasu B'yasser. That what's the raya from that? So if you look at the Rashi, Dekanami, it's about two lines lower in the Rashi, Dekanami, the Begizus of Lodis Peligi, Dekani Loshin Chosu V'yeser, V'lektani Loshin Zoil V'yoyker. Why doesn't the Mishnah use the expression of Zoil if it went down? That would mean price fluctuation. But the fact is, it's Chosu V'yeser we're talking about inherent in the body of this pikadoi, that this animal now either has more wool or less wool, or is now reconis, and previously it wasn't, or previously reconis, and now it has. You always have to go, according to Beis Shammai, you have to pay everything, just like Reb Meir said. Goyz l'sarach v'yoga, oysa gizeseh, v'lisah, all this you have to give.
Now, what is the...
Kishas eitzor. What's the shas eitzor? At the time that you're going to go and cut it, that's going to be the cutting edge. Then you're going to go and see what the story was. Or, according to this Prat Beisulam Kishas Eitzor, when you took it from the original base Habalim, or when the Shoimer originally did the Shlichas Yad, and he took this animal and he said, I'm going to keep it for myself. At that time, you have to see if it had wool at that time, he's going to have to return that wool. If it's going to be Uber at that time, he's going to have to give back the Uber. But if, in fact, it was a situation where there was no wool and there was no Uber, it was a Reikonis, says Beisil, you only have to go and pay like the Zman of the Shlichas Yad Kishua Seitzor from the base bottom. Shema Mina. So bottom line is, what the Gemara is concluding is that Rabbah and our Mishnah are talking about two separate cases. Rabbah is talking about a classic Gzela case, and therefore your Nilke B'chosser B'yasser, if it goes up, if it goes down, if he subsequently drinks it and the price went up, you got to pay the higher. If when he drank it, it went down, you have to pay Kishas Gzela like it was originally. That's all agabe, a real Gzela. But our Mishnah is talking about a real Gzela. Gemara is talking about a case of Shlichas Yad where it wasn't price fluctuation, but it was body fluctuation, that now it has Giza, and it has now wool, it didn't have before, or it now Muberis, it wasn't before. Says Rameir, and Beis Shammai, pay everything. Says Beis Hillel, no, you do it Kishas Eitzor, when you originally took it from the base of Baalim, whatever it was at that time. I stole a Reikonis, I have to give back a Reikonis. Even though in the meantime, I have all the Vlodis and the Gizais, those I do not have to return. That's the answer.
So it's necessary to be very honest in business and not to try to pull the wool over anybody's eyes.
Exactly, not to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. That's great. Thank you very much.
Why not?
Nobody should be
pleased. The case of a keg.
The case of a
keg. Well, keg of wine. It doesn't give wool, it doesn't give children.
Yeah.
Why don't we pass it simple? You took a keg of wine, give it back. If it's worth more, worth less. So why do we have to go into shyness? You stole a keg of wine, you have the possibility to return it.
You're absolutely right. Rashi, we didn't learn all the Rashis, but Rashi constantly says that if the wine and the keg and the barrel are still be'en, totally intact, I give it back to you, no questions asked whether it's gone up, whether it's gone
out of court.
The only problem is if he started using the wine. Oh, you used the wine, you drank a gallon out of this 50-gallon barrel, how much do you have to pay? Do you pay the current price, or you have to pay the original price? But Avadi, you're right. If it's totally intact, you just give it back and say, here, I'm sorry. You don't even have to say you're sorry. You just hand it back and you don't.
If you use different quality wine, different price, it's not the same.
Exactly. Now it's gone up in value, gone down in value. And the fact that you open the barrel,
spoils.
Exactly. So all those are factors.
So let's go back to the mission and knowing that we're talking about an animal.
Yes.
So it's a picadon.
So you see, it's a different animal than we thought.
So it's a picadon. So yeah. The mafkid gives the shomer the picadon, the animal. We're talking about an animal now. And now, so what's the deal? So the animal's growing wool, and the shomer's not supposed to shear it. The animal's giving milk, and the shomer's not supposed to milk it. The animal is there for enough time to give birth to a child. And, I mean, all these things should have been under the terms of the mafkid and the shomer. What do we do in this extended period? It feels like
the mafkid had intended giving it to him only for a week. However, the mafkid unfortunately got sick and he's now in the hospital. And now you can't ask the mafkid what he wants to do with it. So what does the shomer do?
It's a shomer chinam, right?
It's a shomer chinam, but he should go and watch it diligently and nicely.
Okay.
And guess what happened? He unfortunately said, oh, the guy's sick in the hospital.
Yeah, might as well just take it home.
Nobody will know the difference. Right. He's going to go to Olam Emes. It'll be a wonderful Leviathan. And I'll give out at the Suda Shavra. I'm going to go and give everybody some wine. Oh, such a nice guy. He's giving out wine. The yayin lemor
nefesh. Give him lamb chops.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'll give him lamb chops. Fine. So the point over here is that the person decided at some point to take this bikkurim for himself. Let's assume at the moment that he took it, it was still a reconis. He held on to it for 3 months. During that period of time, wool grew, and he cut the wool. And, or, during that period of time, the animal got pregnant, not 3 months, 5 months, 7 months,
right.
And then it gave birth. And now he is the proud possessor of the wool and of the child. And now he decides to do tshuva, he wants to give it back. Does he have to go and give back the fact that there is now wool in his rishus, and that he is now an Uber? Says Beshami, of course, whatever has happened and transpired with this animal, give back the original animal, and you're going to have to go and add to it
all the dividends.
All the dividends. Exactly right. On the other hand,
Beisil
says, Geshas Hitzor, like the Tzas Hitzor mi Beis Habalim, meaning at the time that he said, I'm Shalech Bayad, I'm taking it for myself, and it's going to be mine. Nobody would be the wiser. From that point on, that was the Shasek Zela. He has to go and pay what it was worth at that time. Of course, like Mr. Friedlander says, if it's still intact, hand over the goods with the wool on it and pregnant and all the rest. But what happens if this animal has now been shorn of its wool and the baby has been born? Right. So now he can give back the original animal, Kishasei Tzob, in Oilam, like he originally...
And Beisil says he can keep the wool and the child.
It's just like a gzela. Right. You stole... What happens if you stole $500 from Yankel?
Right.
You took that $500, you invested in Tesla, and now it's worth $1,000. Now Yankel finds you, you're the crook. Do you have to go and pay $1,000 because it's appreciated in value? You only pay the original $500 that you stole. Exactly. I had this investment. I made so much more money. Mazel tov. But Lamasa, what did you steal? B'shas Ixela? A $500 animal. A $500 money. Here too, he stole the animal. It's not true. The animal in the meantime has produced the wool and has produced the uber. But I stole it. At the time I stole it, it was reconnaissance. That's how much you have to go pay B'shas Ixela. That's basically.
So if there's no penalty for the use of the money?
No penalty. And now we have Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, Kishas HaTviyah. What does that mean? So we already said when we learned the Mishnah Shas Tfiya meat, you don't look at the time that it was taken. You don't look at the time that it gave birth to animals, or that it gave that you drank from the wine, and or that you took the giza. No. Kishas Tfiya, when you're going into Bezin. And you remember we learned in the Mishnah, it doesn't mean that the Teveya brings the complaint. It's when the Bezin issues the Psakdin. And Omer Rav Yehuda b'Shmuel Halacha Rebbe Akiva, we paskin like Rebbe Akiva. You're going into Bezin. The Bezin says, okay, we here find that the Shomer is guilty. At that moment, what is the price in the marketplace? That's the Shas Tviya that Rebbe Akiva says you have to pay at that time. That's a different story. What does that mean?
Who's he motivated to Beis Ham or to Beis Hillel?
Oh, so go down one line in the Rashi. Umay Rabbi Akiva Makam Sheish Eidim, Kama Hoisa Shova B'Yoyim Shegozla, V'Ra'u Shegozla Heimenu, to Mishalim Kishas Hagzela. In other words, normally we say to a Gazlan, when do we know that he's for sure a Gazlan, he has to go and pay? When the Bezin decides,
right.
You have to go and pay. Says Rabbi Akiva, when they say guilty, look at the Wall Street Journal, figure out what the market price is. That's how much you have to go and pay. However, says Rabbi Akiva, what happens? I didn't need to go to Bezin. Because even before I got to Bezin, there were two Edom that saw that I did the Gzela. So therefore, the person doesn't even need to adjudicate. He can go and be Moiden, say, yeah, the Edom are here. It's true, I stole it. So you don't need to come onto the Bezin to make a decision and say guilty. He himself knows that he's guilty because he has the two Edom there. That's when the Edom say, we saw the Shas HaGzela, then he's going to be chayif from the Shas HaGzela. Call the Gazlan Misham and Kishas HaGzela. Until now we said, Rabbi Akiva says, no, you pay when the Bezin decides. That's only if you need to come on to Bezin to decide. But if it's a fait accompli that he's going to be found guilty because the two Edom that say that he's guilty, then you pay Kishas HaGzela, because they're saying, you know when this person was guilty? At the time he stole. We know when he stole. We were there. It took place Monday morning, April 7th, whatever the date was. That's the Shas HaGzela. That's the time he has to pay.
How can we say just to Edom, until the Bezdin decides, Zomim can come and say, Yiman Hu Yisam. I mean, until having
all
Edom alone.
All that happens. But then it goes Lemafreya that we
okay,
say.
Okay,
since
okay, okay. Okay. So there was a Psakdin. Okay.
So then what's the difference between the case of Rabbi Akiva when he says the Bezin decides and when the Edom decide? Says Rashi, Rabbi Akiva is talking about when he was moid in Bezin that we didn't need to come on to Edom. The Hidoras Baldin Kimei Edom Dami. And based on that, the Bezin says, okay, we hereby decide that he happens to be guilty.
Right.
That's the time that he is adjudicated guilty. And then we look at the Wall Street Journal. Right. But if they're two Edom, we don't need his Hidor. We don't really need the Bezin. What's it then? Then you go Kishas HaGzela. Look at the next Rashi. Oh, well, first let's see the Gemara, then we'll see the Rashi. Zog the Gemara. Moed Rekim HaKishreid in my time. The Gemara says in the Pasuk, La'asher hu lo yitnenu biyoim ashmasai. The question is, what's the definition of the word ashma? Ashma means guilt. Biyoim ashmasai means the day of his guilt. So if the Bezin has decided mitapsakdim, that's the normal day of the guilt. That's the Zman Tviya, the Shas Tviya of our Mishnah. However, the Kim de Ika Edom, Mehushatahu de Yechayv Le Ashma. It will turn out the Mafreya when we hear the Edom of the Edom. When was the guilt established? Not now in Bezin. When he committed the crime. So look at the next Rashi. My Tam de Rekiv, the Yom Kishasa Tviya. The Yom Akra, the Yom Ashmasai, the Domim Shal Oisi Yom Shu Mischayev Loi. The day that we have decided that he's mechuyev, in other words, he's found guilty. However, heichad tovu v'hoide da al piv hu mischayev hamadosa bedin v'hoide osay hu yoyim hamishmasay. If it wasn't based on the edim, then it's the day that he's in Bezin and he says, "Yeah, it's true. I took it. I stole it." Then the Bezin says, "You're guilty." That's yoyim hamishmasay. Am yesh edim mishashira u shigazla. That's who Hashem like. So says Rabbi Akiva, I always look at the yoyim hamishmasay. What's the definition of Yom HaShmasai, the day of his guilt? If the guilt is only established through a Bezin because there were no Edom, that's the Yom HaShmasai. If there were Edom that we don't need the Bezin, so then when the Edom testify that we were there at the time of the original Gzela, so the day of his guilt was the day of the original Gzela. So that's the Ganz Ishtik Lomar. Kim the Ik Edom, the Hushatu, the Mechaim Lei Ashma. Om Le Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Ato Yimakein. He said to Rav Yehuda, my Rebbe, not Rebbe like Rebbe Yudah Nossi, he's saying, right. My Rebbe, is that what you say? Ah, Hochim Rabbasim Rebbe Yechanan, Cholikai Rebbe Kiva, Philippa Mokim Shein Sheidin. Ah, Rebbe Kiva is very, very consistent in his psak. He says, your Eidim Nishayd, it doesn't make a difference. It has to be the day that the Bezin issues its psak din. My time, the Amakal Asher, who lo yitnan be a mashmosai, who beidino, who the gomechaivi le ashma. Well, like you said, what happens with the Adam Zalmim afterwards, or Mezimim, say these are not kosher, right. Whatever. You have to wait until that final psak din. That's the Yoim Ashmosai. So you see that although the Mishnah uses the expression Kishasa Tmiya, it doesn't mean when he files his complaint, it means the day that the psak din where they issue their psak. So Ibazoi is a shver. We have now a kasha. We started off that Omli Rabbi Yishil Rav Yehuda. No, earlier. Om Rav Yehuda Om Shmuel. Rav Yehuda saying Om Shmuel Loch Rav Kiva. And Umoid Rav Kiva Mokim Shiyesh Eidim. Then already the Allah would be different. Now Rav Yishil says to Rav Yehuda, really Rav Yehuda, you said that name of Shmuel. Do you really believe in that? Do you really hold that way? Ay, Rav Asi Om Rav Yehuda said, the Cholik Rav Kiva, even the Mokim Shiyem Eidim, that you never go after the day of the guilt and the day that they start. You always go after the day of the Psak Din. So now, that was his kasha. The Gemara doesn't give a kasha, doesn't give a teretz, but rather the Gemara tells us that Reb Zeira was perplexed by this shaila. What do you do if they're Edom? What's the definition of Yoim Ashmosai? And Omli Reb Zeira, Reb Abba Bar Papa, do me a favor. Ki Azas Lahosim, Rashi says, when you're Ole to Eretz Yisrael, or when you are traveling to Eretz Yisrael, don't go directly to Chvais Yerushalayim or Tzfas or whatever, but Akif Asul Meditzar. I want you to go on a diversion, leave the normal road, and make Ashtikal Hakofa to go to Sulma Ditzar. Rabbi Yaakov Baridi lives, as everybody knows, in Sulma Ditzar. You'll knock on his door. Oh, boy, I'm going to ask him this shayla. What did he hear the Gabi this Allah like Rabbi Kiva, not like Rabbi Kiva? As well as what's the definition of the Yoim Ashmosai?
Right.
Amalei Sitaka went there, and Rabbi Yaakov Baridi said, Hachim Rabbi Yoichan, Allah like Rabbi Kiva, we pass like Rabbi Kiva. Le'oilam. Freiti Mamai Le'oilam. What is this? Le'oilam.
Right.
Why do you add Le'oilam? Amravashi. Shloi Toyma Hani Mili Hechad Leke Edom. Ava Hechad Ike Edom Loi. Don't say like we said initially that if they're Edom, there's a different definition of Yoy Mash Masai. No. It's always consistent like the second shot, like
Rabbasim
Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Kiva was always said you go beyond Tviya, meaning always when the Bezin makes the decision.
Why, when there are Edim is Loi, why should I say that?
Why should be different than the Edim?
Yeah.
The question is, we're trying to peg the exact time of when this person is found guilty, and at that time we will look up in the Wall Street Journal what is the market rate for that particular item. So now, what's the definition of day of guilt? Rabbi Kiva says day of guilt is when the person issues its psak. But the Gemara has at least a habamina that if there are Edom, and the Edom testify that we were there on April 7th, that we saw it with our own eyes, that the day of guilt is not when the Bezin issues his psak, but
the day of the crime.
The day of the crime, because we have two live Edom that say, Abishnaim Edom Yakim Dava. The day of the crime, that's the Yoim Mashmosi, that's the day of guilt. Even though we only found out about it a month later, or whenever the Bezin adjudicated, but Lamaisa, we know based on these two kosher Edom that the day of guilt was the day of the crime. She has to pay according to the day of crime. That's the first pshat. Then the Gemara said, no. Rabbi Kiva doesn't make any distinction, makes a difference. Your Edom, Nish Edom, the day of guilt is the day when the Bezin issues its psak. So that's the two pshat. So therefore he said, Le'oilam. So that Le'oilam number one takes care of what we just discussed, that even if there are Edom, the same thing applies. That you go after the day of the crime. No. You always go Yom HaShmasa, the day of the Bezin's verdict. Oh, so that's the Le'oilam. What happens if the person stole the item, put the item back, and then a week later it broke? Says Rabbi Kiva, you're still going to be guilty for that break. Why? I stole it, maskim, but I gave it back, and he has it now in his rishua. So what's the problem? The problem is he didn't advise the nigzal that he's returning it. And that goes back to the machloikah. So we had a few days ago between whether you need das balim or not das balim. Just put it back the ginosoy or berchuvosoy or chatzera. Just put it back. Don't say a word. Don't have to tell anybody. Especially when you're talking about a shomer, the mafkid will never know if I put it back. I took it originally. I put it back. You don't know anything about it. Shmuel says you don't have to. Remember that was the whole Mishnah that it was yichdoy or lo yichdoy. It was miyachin mokum, nish miyachin mokum. So Rabbi Shmuel says you don't need daspan. Just put it back and you're done. Kamash malon. No, that's the oilam. Says Rabbi Kiva, says Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Kiva, that we pass on Rabbi Kiva, the oilam, the be'inan das balam. You have to have das balam when you return it.
Even and if it makes no difference for the balbos.
Exactly. And therefore, that's if. Right. And if the shoyimer took it from that corner, he moved it somewhere else, he put it back, he didn't tell the mafkid, and then a week later or a month later it breaks, poka, he's still chayiv, because he's still considered to be a gazlan until he's moidia to the balam that I returned it. Ah, so the gazlan, remember, that's the li oilam that we're talking about. Zokti Yimara, how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? V'rova omar halacha ki beisil, we paskin like beisil. In other words, we had a three-way machlekes. We're not going to pass like Beis Shammai. We have Beis Hillel and we have Rabbi Kiva. Now, how are we going to pass between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Kiva? So note, Omer Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Allah ki Rabbi Kiva. That's what Shmuel said. And now Rav says we pass like Beis Hillel. So now I'm in a quandary. How do we go? Do we follow like Shmuel? Do we pass like Rabbi Kiva? Do we follow like Rav? We pass like Beis Hillel? Guess what? Rashi answers this question. If you look at Rashi right before the Mishnah, about 10 lines from the bottom, right? You have Virova Omar, Halach Kimisil, Kishas Gzela. Not like the Shas Bezdin, Kishas Gzela. Vanan Kirova of Dinan, the Havale Basra. So Rashi tells us one of the rules in Hilchos Psak that if you have two Amoraim, an earlier Amoira and a later Amoira, and they have an argument with Gabi Halacha, we're going to follow the later Amoira because he's the Basra, and therefore, over time, from Shmuel until Rava, this has probably been argued in many different academies, in Surah, in Erdoa, in Pompadisa, and the final Psak is like Rava, since he's among the latest and the final Amiroim, we pass him like Beis Hillel and not like Rabbi Akiva. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Have a one.